Welcome to the latest Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. This week we're at the Imaging Days conference in Amsterdam, talking about production and what we used to call jingles with some of the best in the business. Reporting for Radio Today is Steve Martin, whose own monthly podcast, Earshot, is always worth a listen.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
My name is Steve Martin and we're here at the Imaging Days. It's a radio imaging conference in Amsterdam, here today for the Radio Today programme. And with me, Chris Stevens, a producer with commercial and BBC experience, now running your own jingles company, Ignite.
That's correct. Yes, I'm wearing quite a few hats.
Also here, Ryan Dreen. You're from the United States, Ryan.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Europe.
Thank you.
And producer and voice artist.
Yes.
We'll speak to you in just a moment. And finally, Mark Gabler is on my left. Mark, you former Real Radio producer, correct, now working for Communicor.
Yes, briefly, yes. And for a few other companies too, yes.
What's the value in having so many radio production people together in one room? There's about 250 of us.
Just sharing ideas, basically. It's just great to get together as a team of people, a room full of people, and see what everybody else is doing and see if there's anything you can take away and enhance your work with.
And what was the biggest takeout for you?
The authenticity, that was one. Disassociate from the drama, that's another phrase I remembered, and just the willingness to be creative, I think. There's lots of different ways of doing things, not necessarily any wrong answers, it's just lots of different ways, apply it to your situation and make it work for the best.
Ryan, is the way we do radio production and imaging in Europe identical to that in the United States?
No, I don't think so. I think it seems like I noticed this last year, and it's still the case, that there's a lot more effort being placed into resources here in Europe than in the States. The States has simply been, you know, cutting back at all costs, or maybe no pun intended there. And here there still seems to be a really strong effort, multiple producers in-house. You know, a network has many producers working on it. A big brand locally here like Radio 538 has multiple people, you know, operating that. They have a lot more resources to get customized creative, we'll say that.
So European radio putting in more resource, but what's the benefit for audiences and for the stations for doing that? Why should stations put more resource behind their production?
It seems like that was kind of talked about here, but it is for that emotional, that human feeling of the brand. If you feel like you're listening to something that doesn't have a lot of heart into it, or it doesn't really have a lot of human touch on it, I guess, then you're not going to really feel very connected to it. But here they really do have a lot of human resources being put into the brands. Therefore, they feel a lot more alive, and I think they gain more listeners and a better connection.
Chris, what have you got out of the conference?
I think it's so exciting that producers can get together and have their own conference. Most radio conferences are covering a whole range of subjects, from sales through to programming, and everything in between. And you might get one imaging session, maybe two, but they're often pointing towards a PD, or they have to be of a wider interest. We've had 2 days here where we've gone from everything from John Frost writing short comedy pieces to make the small printer promo sound better, through to the 538 guys showing us the compressors they use in different plugins, different ways of combining sounds together, through to the deeper stuff about why we do production and what's going on. Such a wide range. And actually, how often do you get to be that involved and swap notes with people from not just across the industry but across the world as well? It's so exciting to do that. Most radio groups might have a handful of producers, and for them to put on their own training sessions can be quite complicated, quite difficult. This is a great way, with a very even playing field, for producers to get together and, whatever type of production they do, swap notes and ideas and go away enthused. I'm certainly going away really enthused from it, so I'm a big fan of stuff like this.
To be a producer on a modern radio station requires a really wide range of skills, doesn't it? You have to be a good writer, increasingly to have an understanding of the musicality of the structure of what you're producing, and you do need those technical skills that you're talking about, Chris. Mark, what are the skills that you think producers today in radio would be wise to invest in as they develop their own skills mix?
Well, again, it's coming from a session earlier, they're talking about the direction thing. I think that there was a lot said today about how you communicate with a voiceover and get the best out of a voiceover. And that's the very start of the process. And if you get good material there, then, you know, you can use your skills on the Pro Tools and make something amazing. But if you start off badly, it's never going to get much better.
Ryan, as a voice artist, how do you know when you've got a decent producer on the other end of the circuit or in the studio directing you? What are the signs that you're looking for?
The sessions that I do that are directed are more commercial. That's another thing. I think you kind of brought it up before, but as far as the resources in the States, really it's fire copy off in email and you just hope you get it back pretty quickly. There's really no directed sessions. At some of the real larger scale there would be. But as far as, like, you know, if you know you're dealing with someone good, gosh, I don't know if I could really put it into words. You just kind of feel it. Like, you do some commercial sessions. Obviously, if you know the brand is big, you know what the paycheck is. That'll show you who you're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? But really, if you start hearing direction into what I think the average person would see as fake or contrived, then you know this person probably doesn't get it. Because I think that's the trend in not just radio, but in messaging, is to really get natural and real instead of, you know, announcer and pukey. And obviously that's not me. You can hear me speaking now. I'm not the pukey old big voice guy, you know.
Chris, you're at the cutting edge of music and promotions and imaging. What are the big trends that you're seeing from your clients in the UK and Ireland?
Well, it was really interesting, actually. Even this year compared with last year, watching the sessions, how many people were talking about what they were calling harmonized mixing, which is checking for key clashes when you're transitioning between songs to make sure that you're heading musically in the right direction, that the tempos are matching or you're working between them. And it's really cool to see now that so many producers who may not have a traditional musical background, and, you know, I had piano lessons for 10 years battered into me as a child, which I'm now so grateful for, but it's great that people are now having that as part of their standard production experience. And that makes such a great sound on the radio. Yeah, if things flow so much better, things are more musical, and the vast majority of us are imaging for music radio stations. And people are tuning in because they like the rhythms and the melodies and so on, and to build that into the audio is absolutely fantastic. And one of the best examples of that was probably Matt Fisher's session, Matt from Radio 1, who talked about the big mashup he did for the big weekend in the summer, where he took 50 songs in 4 minutes, mashed them up, and he was just showing us the audio. Then, of course, there was the whole video side of it, which is another big area that's coming into radio production now, as we share everything on social media all the time. So that really excited me. As a musician, as someone who writes music and works a lot with music and imaging, it's great to see that that's being taken on board right across the industry and across the continent and beyond.
All the delegates at this event are from the world of production. We're all locked together in one room. Mark, how well does the rest of the radio industry understand this particular specialism?
Well, the answer to that is I really don't know. But, I mean, from my point of view, if I'm working with a programmer, every time you change the program you're working for, you've kind of got to get inside a new head, and you've really got to work out what it is that makes the radio that they love to hear. So you've got to change your values, your systems, your methodology, just based on what they're trying to achieve. And everybody, if you're working as a freelancer now, you work for a number of different programmers, you've kind of got to do that times 10, really, or times however many you're working with. So I think this is great because it gives you all the ammunition, this event, to then keep inside your head for dealing with all those different situations.
So what would you say to programmers in the UK that you work with or you'd like to work with on how to get more value from production people like you?
Well, I think it's basically a communication issue, isn't it? I think the more you communicate, the more you get together, and if it's possible, which I guess it never is because of time constraints and budgets and what have you, but to get together as often as you can and work together on at least one or two projects so that you set some standards up early, and the work that's ongoing then is of a consistently high standard.
Chris, what one thing could radio programmers do to get more value from you?
I think radio programmers could get better value from producers generally, and this is actually, I think, goes even wider than programmers, if from the beginning of any commercial-led content, there are conversations between the sales teams, the programmers and the producers, because now that so much content is sponsored, has commercial partners, whether it's providing prizes or even funding some programming now, I think it's managing the expectations of all involved. And so often there's a lot of commercial content to try and fit into the production piece, and it can be quite difficult if ad loads are high and traffic can only give you 30 seconds for a promo, but actually you've got two or three commercial messages to get in there or different partners involved. I think there needs to be really open conversations from very early on in any promotion, so that way the producer has enough creativity to deliver something that's going to be fantastic for the listeners, for the radio station, and for those commercial clients as well. It's got to work for everyone, and to do that, we all need to be able to talk openly about what we're trying to achieve.
You've talked a lot about music, and we've talked at the conference a lot about music radio, but you've worked in public service radio, you've worked in the BBC. How relevant are the skills we've been talking about at this conference to speech radio and to public service broadcasting?
I think they're equally as relevant for those stations. I think public service broadcasting does some fantastic imaging. Radio 1 we saw here doing some superb stuff. You only got to listen across the network. And in speech radio, there are still rhythms. They're just different rhythms because they're rhythms of speech instead. So whether that's Nick Ferrari on the morning on LBC talking, or an interview on Radio 4, commentary on 5 Live, speech has natural rhythm to it. And understanding that and finding music that matches or using wording that matches is just as important. And I think there's as much scope in speech-based radio and public service broadcasting for excellent imaging as there is in the commercial area.
Ryan, I can't let you go without asking you what you've been listening to on the radio while you've been in Europe. What do you like about European radio?
I actually listen to quite a bit at home with the services of some tools one might use on the internet to make them think I'm not in America. So specifically to this trip, I really had Radio 538 on a lot because I knew that those guys would be rounding out the show.
That's the number one station here in the Netherlands, a hit music
Certainly
format.
Amsterdam, and yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely that real just bleeding edge CHR station. And I wanted to kind of hear if there had been any evolution in the sound from last year, if it was kind of, just right on tracks. And in fact, I was kind of thinking it felt a little bigger and louder, and apparently it has, as we learned in the session. That's what I listened to here. But another thing that I think was really exciting for radio as a person from the States was Chris Moyle's relaunch in Radio X, that brand getting launched by Global. I thought that was just really exciting in general to see a radio property and a radio talent get so much attention and make such a big splash. It just kind of shows you that radio can still make a big deal.
Ryan and Mark and Chris, thank you very much. You're a voiceover, Ryan. Just say these words, please.
Now the legend, Trevor Dan.
Well, thank you, Ryan. And of course, Chris, Mark and Steve. While we've got imaging in mind, here is that Radio 1 mashup they were talking about from April this year.
Giggle at a funeral. Yeah. Knows everybody's disapproval. Should've worshipped her sooner.
Let's light it up until our hearts catch fire.
And I said,
welcome to the new age. To the new age. Welcome to the new age. To the new age.
We'll find a way to keep the cold night.
Waking up to ash and dust, I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust.
There must be poison in those fingertips of yours, 'cause I keep coming back again for more.
Now you step in with a G, from Los Angeles, where the helicopters got cameras.
Good heavens, you boys.
You ain't no G. I'm 2 quarters and a heart down, and I don't want to forget how your voice says. These words are all I have, so right there. See me there just to get by.
That's my hidden treasure chest.
Nobody loves, nobody, nobody.
Give me one good reason why I should never make a change.
Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. I remember when we swapped names and I thought maybe
what we had was real. How could you be fine?
I'm a little too young, we're not enough time.
Girl, I can love you.
I'm a little too young, we're not enough time.
Matt Fisher's remarkable mashup for Radio 1's Big Weekend 2015. At the other end of the scale, BBC Local Radio has just unveiled these.
Online, on digital radio and TV, and on 94.9 FM.
London's radio station.
BBC Radio London. BBC Radio London.
Call 020 722 42000.
BBC Radio London. BBC Radio Devon.
David Fitzgerald.
Shall we have this week's news? Here's Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. In the news this week, the Competition and Markets Authority has cleared the anticipated acquisition by Global Radio Holdings of Juice FM. Global has also since confirmed that Capital FM will indeed be launching in the city early next year. Ofcom is to re-advertise the old XFM stroke Rock Radio stroke Q96 stroke Real XS license after Global recently just gave it up. A new station will launch on 96.3 FM in the near future, and applications will be invited later this year. And UTV is now officially advertising positions at their new national radio stations launching on DAB next year. They include Talk Radio and Virgin Radio. See radiotodayjobs.com for all the details. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Radio.
Radio Moments.
You and Yours is Radio 4's consumer programme.
Hello, welcome to Radio 4's consumer programme.
And it began this week 45 years ago when inflation was 5%.
Hello again. A day up in London for the cup final. That's really what we're going to talk about today. Tomorrow is a rather special cup final in a way, in that Arsenal is aiming for the double. The last time a team achieved the double of the league championship...
One of the earliest surviving editions of You and Yours, which began this week in 1970. It's still going. On the first programme, Joan York tackled modern packaging, measles vaccinations and buying your first home. Another key programme on the Radio 4 schedule arrived this week 50 years ago. BBC News boss Donald Edwards wanted to get rid of what he called long, stilted bulletins.
The leader of the Liberal Party, Mr. Jeremy Thorpe, today put his weight behind an international campaign to publicise the case of the recently arrested Soviet human rights campaigner, Dr. Andrei Chair, I honestly can't pronounce this word very well, Chair Dr. Oblomov. Why is Mr. Thorpe doing this?
William Hardcastle, the first voice on The World at One, which launched this week in 1965 on the BBC Home Service. Happy 50th, Watto! It's only had one regular female presenter.
The World at One, this is Martha Carney with 45 minutes of news and comment.
Unlike the Today programme.
It's 6 o'clock on Monday, the 7th of October. Good morning, this is Today with Michelle Hussain and John Humphreys.
The headlines this morning, a new national crime agency starts work today with the aim of rooting out Britain's most powerful criminal gangs. There's a warning that growing numbers of carers...
Michelle Hussain, who hosted the Today programme for the first time this week 2 years ago, following in the footsteps of the greats. 60 years ago this week, Pick of the Pops began. Its first host was Franklin Engelman.
This is the Allied Expeditionary Forces programme of the BBC. We are initiating today a radio broadcasting service for the members of the Allied Expeditionary Forces. We shall call this service the AEF programme. It's to be a service especially prepared for you, and we shall try to make it of a character suited to your needs.
You wouldn't argue with his chart rundowns, would you? The voice of Franklin Engelman, who hosted his first ever Pick of the Pops this week in 1955. It was described as current popular gramophone records, but to my knowledge, nobody has any audio of him doing that show. This week in 1973, UK commercial radio began.
It's the first station of the Independent Broadcasting Authority's local radio service, and the first all-news radio station in this country.
Including the first advert.
First time welcomes radio. It's the best greets and singers. Good luck, commercial radio. Professor Fishfinger.
But this week, 21 years ago, LBC was replaced by a new licence holder promising new, young and innovative programming. The station name LBC changed to London News 97.3 and London News Talk 1152.
Good morning, London. This is Brian Hayes, and it's good to be able to say that again. It's 6 o'clock on Wednesday, the 5th of October, 1994. Welcome to London News Talk 1152 AM, original talk radio. It's a pleasure to be with you for the breakfast programme, which is designed for London. Each morning we will inform you, entertain you, divert you. In fact, we will equip you.
The station's reclaimed the LBC name 2 years later. A novel development in commercial radio aired this week in 1986.
Around the country on independent radio, this is Beadle's Brainbusters with Jeremy Beadle.
Hello, anybody there? Mr. Beadle here. I wish to make a proclamation. During this programme tonight, I will not mention the snow once. Okay, twice. Anyway, welcome once again to the only verbal laxative known to mankind, otherwise known as Beadle's Brainbusters. Yes, right around the country on independent radio, this is Jeremy Beadle.
Beadle's Brainbusters, which began this week 29 years ago on an early pan-UK network programming in the days when that was pretty rare. Commercial radio arrived in Lancashire this week in 82.
Yesterday we were a bud, today we've blossomed. Red Rose Radio with you on 301 metres medium wave, 97.3 VHF stereo. Dave Lincoln, my job every morning to wake you up between 6 and 9 with some rather good music. And lots of people have been fighting for the first request, so let's dig deep into the sack. Who's going to get it? Well, blah.
What was that noise again, Dave?
Blah.
Thank you. Russell Harty was a founder director of Red Rose.
This is actually a historic moment for Red Rose Radio because it's our first outside broadcast and I'm perched on one of those rather elegant platforms on the middle of the M6. Actually, not on the middle of the M6, it's on the side of the M6, because if it were a platform on the middle of the M6, we'd be in trouble. And I'm in a very smart, clean, snapping, brand new police car. And we're about to
Russell Harty on day one of Red Rose Radio, now Rock FM, which launched this week 33 years ago. 1981 now, and who's this appearing on Radio 2?
Oh, the very wonderful, everlasting Doris Day. She's responsible for two-thirds of the consumption of milk in the United States and cycles everywhere throughout Hollywood on a bicycle. She's so brimming with health. Mind you, nowadays she has to drag her wrinkles behind her in a plastic bag.
Kenny Everett, who hosted his first show on Radio 2 this week 34 years ago. This week in 1963 was a good one for Wales. At last, the country was to have its own radio station. Well, actually, not a radio station, just a little opt-out from the Home Service, really.
8:15, good morning, Wales.
And for the first time, here was a programme that brought together all the things that made for general life and also made us distinctive. It was that sense of, this is us and this is new.
Vincent Kane, happy birthday, Good Morning Wales, launching 52 years ago. So, with the launch of Real Radio South Wales, now hard 15 years ago...
Good morning, South Wales, I'm Tom Jones, and good morning, Real Radio.
Family favourites, launching on the Light programme 70 years ago...
But at home and away, once again, it's time for two-way family favourites.
Radio Wyvern, launching 33 years ago...
He's got Wyvern stickers on his mum's car, the family caravan, and even the vacuum cleaner.
Centre Radio in Leicester, collapsing 32 years ago...
A rinky-dinky-dooty-dots...
BBC Manchester, first broadcasting from Media City 4 years ago.
We do have a new number. That's the one thing that has changed as we move to Media City UK.
Radio 1's last broadcast from Egton House 19 years ago.
Radio 1.
Darnest noise ever.
The UK's new music.
97 to 99 FM.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio London coming on air 45 years ago.
We live in a house in Hanover Square and a hovel in Bermondsey.
And Kiss FM First Broadcasting has a South London pirate station 30 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
David Lloyd's Moments end this week's RTP. Thank you for listening. Do keep up to date at radiotoday.co.uk and join us again here next week. I've been Trevor Down. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with broadcast by Onyx.